So right in the middle of that, he says, for as the, in the seventh verse, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Are you to say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, let's look again in Hebrews 4:12 again. For it said, the word of God is quick, you can turn there, and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joint and the marrow, and know the intent and thought of the heart. There it talks about the thought of the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, now he's talking about the thought of the heart. Come on with me, class. In Proverbs, flip back Proverbs, as a man thinketh, so is he. So he's talking about as a man thinketh. Then he says, the word of God is knows what the intent and the thought of the heart, right? It says that, right? And so here's a statement here. There's a lot of more scriptures I can go to, but here's a scripture I want to give you a lot of this material, because I got a stack of material on your mind that thick. I showed it to the youth the other night when I taught him in Darnell's place. Darnell got his baby in. I told him he wasn't going to be no good. He was running down there buying stuff and jumping and carrying on. But I'm going to make a statement here. You know, the word of faith, we have taught confession a long time. We even dealt with that there in Romans, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth and you're saved. And that is right. But all this confession we've been doing, there is not enough manifestation to weigh out for all the time we've spent saying things. And I think we're finding out what it is. It's three things. It's your thinking, your believing, and your confession. Why would he tell us renew our mind? Then Romans 12:2. Come on. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Huh? See, thinking. And then we traveled. Do you remember we traveled to Isaiah 55:8, go there again. We traveled over there to get some information from the old covenant where God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Now, he's actually talking to the wicked. The righteous by revelation, by the Holy Spirit of God's word, actually the righteous have the right to have God's mind and to begin to think like God. Now, even in prayer, a lot of scriptures, just roll with me, because I want to get these thoughts over to you. Even in prayer, when we're praying, our thought life need to be right. And the only thing that can align our thoughts up with God's thoughts is the word. But it's not word that has no revelation to it. The same way I talked about faith Sunday, you know. Say, so then faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God? Well, we ought to have truckload of faith and be turning mountain, making mountain. They ought to be mountain running down the street. All the study we have done, sycamore tree just jumping and dancing. All the faith we, all the word we have studied. Amen. But by revelation, see, it's revelation faith. It's faith by revelation. And so, our thoughts, we ought to have the thoughts of God, but only the word of God can produce it. So we've been confessing, but our thinking been wrecking our confession. Why would he say renew your mind? Why would he say at the end of Hebrews 4:12, discern the intent and thought of the heart? Why would he say, as a man thinketh, so is he? Well, I turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 now. Why would he tell us to bring every thought into obedience to Christ? Bring into captivity every thought. He wouldn't tell us that if we couldn't do it, right? He said, bring every thought into captivity. Then we say to you, the only access Satan has to you is through your thought. Then we told you your thoughts is the root, and your decision, come on, listen, all the decisions you make, action, habits, I heard somebody, character, and destiny comes from your thought. Then we align you to understand the content of your soul. It's so important. It might sound simple, so important. Because, you know, emotion and feeling rob us a lot of time. Because faith does not work by feeling. Faith works by truth. And so a lot of time, that's why Satan gets us with those pain. We confess, we heal, pain hits, oh Lord. You got to hold on to your confession of faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promise. But you got your emotion, then you got your reasoning and your intellect, reading slash intellect. Then you have your memory. Then you have your imagination. Talking about your soul now. And your will. And I'm believing that the will get information from the other part. And if you don't have them right, you don't have your reason lined up with the Word of God, and your emotion lined up with the Word of God, and your memory lined up with the Word of God, your will gonna come out wrong. And if your will come out wrong, you can't come in agreement with God. So could it be we were trying to believe and trying to confess without thinking, without doing something with that mind? Because Satan, no matter what you believe, what you think, Satan gonna come at you through that mind. But if, suppose your mind was set right. I think every confession that's been turned to ruin is Satan putting something on our mind. If we notice that in Ephesians chapter 4, no, not Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Be careful for nothing, but into everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep. Now watch what he's keeping. Should keep your heart. No, your heart what? Your heart and mind. So my heart and mind need to be kept. Say it. Say it like you believe it. Now clap your hand. All right. Your heart and mind. Your heart and mind need to be kept. I can't talk about kosile basha. I can't talk about I got a good heart and my mind running happy, loose, and free, and I have no control over this mind of mine. I'm thinking all kind of thoughts. And I need to think God's thought. I can't come in agreement with God unless I'm thinking like he thinks. And he made it possible for me to think like he thinks, because he told me what I can do. I can pull down strongholds. Yes, sir. And I can cast down bad imagination. And I can cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Now, the knowledge of God, hallelujah. The knowledge of God is not talking about information. No, we're not talking about the knowledge of God. We're talking about revelation, because you don't have it until it's revealed to you. I can prove that. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, let's prove that with the Word of God. We usually read 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, take, you know, etc. But then the 27th verse is so important. Jesus told me that. The 27th verse there now. Notice what the 27th verse said. You can't know nothing unless they reveal it to you. I think that's recorded again in John 3:27. I think it says a man can't know nothing unless it be revealed to him from heaven. We are people of revelation, not information. We are people of revelation. Now, don't get mad with me. Many of y'all graduated from college, not a people of education. And what's wrong with the Western world, they've got so smart, they didn't put education above revelation. And so they're actually operating in the natural world and not in the spirit world. So the manifestation and the demonstration and the supernatural cannot perform, because men try to bring God down on their level. And God, through his word and through revelation knowledge, want to renew our mind, get our heart believing along with our mind, and then our mouth will say the right thing. Now, so Satan has stolen a lot of stuff from us through our mind, even though we were believing, even though we were confessing, but yet they're thinking wrong. And so if he know you're thinking not wrong, you don't have the blockage on your thinking, he's going to come in and shipwreck your confession. Now, you can see where you miss it at. A lot of times people don't want to own up to it. You know, I'm bad. I've studied the Word of God for 20 years. I don't care. What's your result? You know, I tell these boys, I'm over 87 churches now. And 87 churches. And I tell those guys, you know, they come in and say, I'm an apostle. You ain't no apostle. Sit down. Wait till I teach you what an apostle is. Then if you got, I say, how much evidence you got? You know, and one guy got angry and said, I'm out of here. Yeah, I've been calling myself an apostle. Yeah, that's what you've been doing, calling yourself an apostle. I'm trying to call you, it might have been an old possum. A lot of things had to be straightened out. Now, let me make this statement. Let me make this statement. You cannot change your life by changing your behavior. Now, you know we've tried that. Huh? No, you change your life by changing what you think. So I think that holds true for your confession, too. Now, the Christian life is not about the devil and demons. And we're not going to never have no bags here you throw up in because a demon coming out of you. That's crazy. Nowhere does the Bible tell us take every demon captive. But look what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. I might take you to the scripture and leave and come back, but just roll with me. Look what it says. They never told us take a demon captive. No, we're to cast demon out of other, but demons can't live in us as Christians. Well, I ain't possessed by no demon. I just haven't renewed my mind. That's why I'm so crazy. I got you. That's why. Yeah, you haven't renewed your mind. Why I'm failing. Why? Ain't no demon stop me from failing because I got more power than a demon. He got my mind messed up. Don't shout me down now. That in 2 Corinthians there was 10. Or what is, 2 Corinthians 10. At verse 5, say, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, we know he's talking about revelation knowledge. He's not talking about just information. Because sinners can read the Bible. My brother-in-law died and going home to be with the Lord, but he would outquote you in the Bible. Sam, many years ago, Sam would outquote my brother-in-law, married my oldest sister. He's dead now, but he would quote you. He'd outquote you in the Bible, but he wasn't saved. Finally, I got him on the oak tree and tied him up. And about hell, and he made his mind up. I'm glad he made a safe landing and he went on home. Now I know he's all right. But according to the Bible, he's all in the Old Testament. Quoting, man. And some of them scriptures I didn't even know. Then I told you I had another woman, you know, I was fighting for her by her bedside. She was out quoting me with scriptures. And she just out quoted and died. Why? She had information. It takes revelation to go into the supernatural and to maintain your place in faith. But it says here, the latter part of that fifth verse says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you see, now I'm going to give you the scripture, you write it down. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it just gives you an insight of what Romans 12:1-3 is saying. See, you talk about your spirit, your soul, and your body. You cast devil out of demon-possessed people. If you're born again, you're a Jesus-possessed person, not a demon-possessed person. Now listen to this. You may have a way of behaving due to a system of thinking. Satan can't make you do nothing. But if you're thinking not right, you give him access. That need to be taken captive so you can destroy that system of thinking. Now watch this. So you can destroy that system of thinking so your behavior pattern can change. Now we said the only access that Satan has to a believer is through their mind. If they don't know how to guard and protect their mind, if they don't, he's going to say something and he's going to throw you off key. When he throw your mind, or when he get access into your mind, he's going to build roots into your mind. And then your decision, your action, your habit, your character and your destiny, they're going to be messed up. So if you need to change, it's not changing your behavior. It's not changing your habit. It's not changing your pattern or nothing. It's changing your mind. You cannot change your life by changing your behavior. You change your life by what you're changing what you think. You change your life by changing how you think. I got to get all this in you. And when your thinking lines up with God's thinking, then what end up happening is Satan say, oh, I can't get in. Now, I keep my mind renewed. You see, there's a lot of scriptures I know. I can quote a lot of scriptures, but I read it anyway. See, because quoting it don't mean I got it. It got so much more in there. When you take control of your mind and keep your mind renewed with the Word of God, you seal Satan off. And he cannot penetrate your life. He cannot stop your believing. He cannot stop your confession. He cannot stop your manifestation. He cannot stop your demonstration. He cannot stop your breakthrough. He cannot keep your victory. The only thing he can work with is your mind. That's what he's using, I'm telling you. And we have to stop him. Now, here's how he works. He seal off and he cannot penetrate your life, or he will come and try to penetrate. Now, I believe those fiery darts over there in Ephesians 6, where he said, above all, take the shield of faith where you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I think those fiery darts has to do with thoughts. Satan putting fiery thoughts in your mind, and you don't know what to do with them. Are you following me? But we need to know what to do with them. Then, over in Revelation, they call him the accuser. How he accused? He's going to throw accusation after accusation after accusation until he penetrates if you don't know how to stop him. Then, when he penetrates your mind, he releases his explosive power through your thought life. But he can't penetrate if you have your breastplate of righteousness on, knowing that you're the righteousness of God. He can't penetrate because you have the sword of the Spirit out. Breastplate of righteousness on and the sword of the Spirit out will stop him every time. If that happened, listen to me. Therefore, there's not going to be any activity of Satan and no operation of him doing things in your life. What? Now, you know he's a tempter. He's a deceiver, but you can stop him. He can't come through your spirit. He can't come through your body. He's not coming through no behavior. He's coming through your mindset. Let's see a little example here. If you're going to have a change, you're going to have to change your thinking, system of thinking, or you'll be back up in the same prayer line. All right, let's give an example. You keep smoking and you come in the prayer line again, we can pray that you be healed from cancer. But if you keep smoking, then cancer have plenty of access back into your life. And see, he's accessing our life by our thought. Now, this is a great, great revelation here, because a lot of you all been making a lot of confession and don't have squat duly compared to much time you can talk to God, as make God as if he's informed or he can't do it. But it got to be on our end. I see we got a few gods up in here. Got to be on our end. You won't say nothing. Just look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Phew, I know what I'm talking about. In the same way, we can cast the devil out of you, bind the devil, pull on the principality. But if you don't change your system of thinking, then Satan will have the same access back into your life. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
That he had the first time. Come on, now stay with me. I'm reading some stuff, but stay with me. Now, listen to this statement. When you was a sinner, Satan owned you. So because he owned you, he infiltrated your life because of the world you lived in. With ways of thinking, come on, think about that, that will land mine to produce destruction. Why do you think God talk about the mind so much? The intent, the thought of the heart. Thought, mind, heart, confession. Now, even though you're a Christian, right? Even though he don't have control over you, but he still have a system of thinking that he'll place inside of your head through this world system. Now, we know Satan's mode of operation. Let's see that little girl there. I don't know if she knows his mode of operation. That little girl, a pretty girl right there. Let me tell you how his mode of operation. You got a Bible? You got something to look at? Look with her. 2 Corinthians 4. I think it's 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Huh? And I think it may be the third verse said, if our gospel be hid, is it hid to those who are lost, whom the God of this world. Now, notice what he said he done. Look what he done. Look what the rascal done. Blinded the mind of them that believe not. But he blind Christian's mind too, who do not know how to renew their mind. And talking about I'm believing this and I'm confessing it's going to come. But your thinking got to line up what you're believing. Because he's sure going to mess you up. He might let you go in church. When you get home, he's going to shoot some thoughts at you that going to mess your believing up. And so now God's trying to get to you, but you're not thinking like God. You're thinking like Satan. You're thinking doubt and unbelief. That's sin. If thou can believe, all things are possible to believe. See? But you get the message of what you're thinking. You see that? If you don't change your system of thinking, Satan will have the same access back into your life that he had it for it when you was a sinner. You see that voice? He blinded the mind of them that believe not. Well, the Bible talks about, listen to me now, listen to me. The Bible talks about being spiritually minded. It says life and peace. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What I'm saying that you're thinking, your thinking might be holding back your confession, your blessing, your manifestation, your demonstration. If I can close the only access a thief have in on me, I got it made. My good is at peace. His only access is through your mind. That's why the Bible talk about the mind so much. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. People dealing with behavior, going to sand words, got cars they reading and all that, and their mind... their mind naked. You know, it's like wearing one of them hospital robes, got your all type in front, and your pads by, and all your back part out. That's what's happened to people. Your mind been open, and Satan been and getting in your mind, not that you're not a good person, but your mind too wide open. We got to get this mind, this thinking straight. What did I tell you, Tony? Yeah, let's go there. Are you with me yet?
Yes, sir.
Got a closed heart and a naked mind. We can't let that happen. I believe the word, you see, you just as much of what you think as what you say. We have been taught one aspect of it, of what we say. We came out of tradition, got to saying a lot of stuff. But, now, even tonight, listen to me here, by internet, even tonight, your life changed. Because you can go back now to your confession and see if your thought life line up with your confession. And you can go back and you know information not going to get it. You got to stay with the, well, I feel the Holy Ghost. My goodness. You got to stay with the Holy Spirit until he give you a revelation. Satan cannot operate in revelation, but he can operate in mind thought, which are not God thought. When your thoughts turn into be God thoughts, it's all over for Satan. Now you're thinking right, you're believing right, and you're talking right. Oh, my goodness. You know. How you going to make it? How that going to happen? You said it. You've been saying that the last 7 months. You see anything? He talked to us all. He who say Satan don't try to talk to you, you lie. That's the way he come. He come with a thought, you know. He's shooting them thoughts, you know. Now, why would the Bible tell us this? Romans chapter 8, the Bible talks about in verse 6. You see that? Read it. How many of y'all know anything about emphasis on words? And how many of y'all know you got to talk out with boldness when you're reading the scripture to make more to you? So would y'all read that again? Go ahead. Hold up, Richard. Death. Carnally minded is death. What that mean? Carnally minded is death. What that mean? That don't mean you're going to drop dead. No, that means John 10:10a going to start happening in your life. The thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it means. Death. Death to what you're believing for. Death to your confession. So could it be, saints of God, that we have made some confession and it died because we didn't renew our mind in that area, and Satan stole our mindset and sat back and watched us hustle and bustle all night long praying and saying things and got our mind locked up? Could it be we've been trying to do with information what only you can do with revelation? Could it be that you're about to change some stuff after you hear me tonight? Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's all about growing. That's what it's all about, growing. See, you're thinking, you're believing, and now I've told you how to handle it now. When your thought's not right, you take the sword of the Spirit, conquer that thought, and beat it down. Beat it till it leaves. And then run up and catch up with it again. Say, wait a minute, I want to talk to you again. What you said? Beat it some more and replace it with genuine word from God. Now, I'm going to admit my thought give me problem. Had given me problem before I learned how to do this. And all of y'all have had thought problem. How are we going to make it? Now that God said another thought, I said, you heard what she said. I don't know, God won't call you what I call you. You heard what they said or he said? Huh? How are we going to make it? I'm sitting up here. How are we going to make it? You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't even, that shouldn't even touch our vocabulary. We've been down so many religious cornfields and so many tradition rehearsals that we need to change now. We need to let the word of God, we need to know this is a brand new day. Revelation knowledge is strong. And in the deep south, listen, sir, I received, sir, in the deep south, these are some religious folk down here in the deep south. They like to kill me down here in the deep south. I had to get away from here, thank God. I had never been out of state in my life, you know. At first, I'd been in New Orleans, but I got away from here, man. And I said, look at these people, how they're living and talking about God and getting result. And we down here singing about like we're still on a slave farm, singing about, Lord, stop by here if you please. And it's still the Western down here. See, we got too much stuff. And we don't really depend on God. That's why I have to adjust you for miracles, signs, and wonders, because you're not going to receive them unless you expect them. See, we build our thing. I get me a better job. Something like that. So you're really not trusting God, but that's another story. We'll talk about that Sunday. All right, it said to be carnal minded is death. What did it say? What else did it say? What kind of minded? What kind of minded? Underline that. Spiritually minded. What that mean? Your mind renewed with the word of God. Your mind. Look. Good God Almighty. Look in Ephesians 4:23. It talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23. And think about Romans 12:2. Think about the two now. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's accessing your confession. He's accessing your blessing. He's accessing your breakthrough through your mind. He's calling your breakthrough not to come through your mind, through your thought life. You can shut him down. You shut him down with the word of God. You replace that thought with a thought from God. And you keep pondering it. God said. God said this. I didn't say this. God said this. I'm in agreement with God. God say I'm blessed in the city. God say I'm blessed in the field. No, you're not blessed. Look at, I ain't looking at that. God said it. And you keep on believing. And you got your mind renewed with it. And it got to happen. It has to happen. It has to happen. We've been trying to confess by believing without thinking. Spiritually. Spiritually thinking. The church have got to the point they think that the secular world is smarter than them. No way. No way. They're not smarter than you. If you're thinking the thoughts of God, they got to be smarter than God. And we let the world intimidate us with that little stuff they have. If we get our mind straight and our heart straight and our confession straight, we'll blow that little stuff out the water. Yeah. Bible talking about being spirit of mind and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You saw it in Ephesians 4:23, that's what it said, right? Yes. All right, let me give you some more thoughts on this now. Even though now he don't have control over you now because you're a Christian, but he still have a system of thinking. Are you listening? Yes. That he placed inside of your head through this world system. And we need to break down this system of thinking. So this system of thinking is no longer our way of thinking. See, yeah, I know I don't think like the world thinks. I'm gone. Goodbye. And that's what the word of God for. It is to renew your way of thinking. Or have a new way of thinking. Have what?
A new way of thinking.
Clap your hand. You're not going to forget that. See? You're not going to forget that. Have a new way of thinking so that it's no longer paving the way for Satan to have access into our lives. The Bible wouldn't be talking about renewing your mind that much if it wasn't so. Now back to Proverbs 23. We'll look at all three verses and say some things about it now. We begin at verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with you. See, his thoughts are not in line with his heart. The morsel which thou hast eaten, should thou vomit it up and lose thy sweet words. See, he's not with you. He act like he with you. See, the devil understand this voice. Listen, he can't do anything to you unless your mind and your flesh cooperate with him. What? You heard that, Brad? He can't do nothing. Notice, the context in which God is saying, as a man thinks, so is he. He's saying that a person can pay you compliments. A person can invite you to dinner. A person can say, eat and drink, and you're welcome here. But just because they say that, it does not reveal who they really are. Amen. See? Listen, because this is going to shock. Now, I'm a word of confession man, but We often think what we say is what we are. But who we really are is what we're thinking on the inside. And lazy wise, it's lazy because it's more easy to say some things than to get your mind renewed. So you just take the sand route. I'm blessed, God. I got Satan by and say to shoot that thought. You know, we've been told we are what we say, but we need to understand what we think is who we really are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we're thinking on the inside is who we really are. Someone asks you, how you doing? But you say, everything is fine. But you're thinking on the inside, man, I'm lousy. I feel bad and I don't feel good. But you know, you think because you made the great confession, I'm fine. You think they're going to hear you? You may be saying everything is fine, thinking you're making a faith statement, but who you really are is made up of what you're thinking inside. Now, it's all right to say that. Even if you're attacked, it's all right to say that, I'm fine, if you really believe in you're fine, and thinking you're fine, and not letting your scenario control you. As you think within, that's who you really are. And that's why, saints, we must pay more attention to changing the thoughts we think. Even more than changing the word we speak. May I say that again?
Yes, sir.
That's why we need to pay more attention to changing the thoughts that we think, even more than changing the word that we speak. Because if we think right, we're going to speak right. Because we can really be saying things that we don't really believe in. No matter how often we say those things, we don't really believe it, they are not going to have power. Now watch this. Let's see can you wear this. This is why so many Christians are so discouraged with the concept of speaking the word or confessing the word. They're discouraged. They've been saying it. But Satan wearing them out with their thought life. Come on. We ought to speak the word of God out of our mouth. We know that. But we do not be, but not to be speaking the word of God that you don't really believe in your heart. Romans 10:9, you know what it said. This is what the scripture said. If you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved. It said that right. So salvation, could we say this? Salvation is a byproduct of the words we speak that are in alignment and agreement with what we believe in our heart, right? So the focus need to be with what we believe and what we are thinking. The focus can't be on what we say. Now, I promise you right now, I've been studying this now for quite some time, day and night. I promise you right now, you're about to change your life. I promise you right now, what he's been doing, listen to me, what he's been doing now, that thinking, you see, because your inheritance and the provision of God and the blessings of God belong to you. You follow what I'm saying? And we need to deal with these thoughts. These thoughts come and tell us what we can't do, what we can't have, who we can't be, where we can't go. And you had to deal with them. Now Mark 11:23 is a favorite. Turn there. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Mark 11:23, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. I trained my children on this. One of the most powerful voices. But your thinking got to go along with it. Then those things shall, and be granted to him. He didn't doubt in his heart, and he believed what he said. So a lot of time we taught this, we're missing the most important step, believing in our heart. Believing in our heart. And our thinking has something to do with that. Your thinking is the parent of your believing. You need to renew your thought life, and then renew your thought life and lock Satan out. And you're thinking like God then. Then you're in agreement with God. Then you and God thinking alike. You and God thinking alike, believing alike, and talking alike. A lot of times, the reason we don't believe in our heart because we're trying to conduct ourselves in an appropriate Christian manner, which is to say good things, to speak the word that is proper conduct. I remember God saying to me with this last revelation, it ain't over yet. And the Lord said, I don't want nobody correcting you on that. I give you the revelation, it ain't over yet. I passed by one woman, she was putting the proper grammar in it. I said, God didn't say that. He said, it ain't over yet. It isn't over yet and all this deep stuff, you know. I know a little bit. But if we don't deal with our thoughts, listen to life or what is going on underneath the conduct, then our conduct of confession is not going to produce any result. May I say that again? Listen very carefully. May the Holy Spirit breathe on this. This is what he said now. Listen to what he said. Because some of you are about to enter into some things you've been seeing, but you just couldn't get there. You remember I told you about my trip in Atlanta, Georgia? We were there, and every street was named, Apple Street or something, Peace Street. And we saw the hotel and couldn't get to it. We've been seeing the hotel, but we just can't get to our room. And I'm telling you, this is a missing ingredient. Listen, but if we don't deal with our thought life or what is going on underneath the conduct, then our conduct of confession is not going to produce any result. And results in the possession of the things we are confessing for, and that is why there are so many Christians that have spoken the word and said it out of their mouth, but they haven't seen anything change. It's getting you in your thought life. Now let's go back, see your thought, it has something to do with your soul. See, your soul is not locking in with your spirit. Remember Jesus said, what it profits a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And then, beloved, I wish above all things your prosperity being held even as your soul prospers. And your thought life is in there, your will is in there, you see. And Satan knows that. And he keep locking you up, keep hemming you up, see. Yeah, I know all about science in the mind and all that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being spiritually minded. They don't believe in the blood of Jesus. Because the thing is only going to change based on the weight of confidence in your heart, what you actually believe, not just the words you actually speak. Both of these must be working together. You listening?
Yes, sir.
And the one that must precede the other is what you believe, and what you think need to come before what you say. What you believe and what you think supposed to come before what you say. How many heard that?
Yes,
clap your hand. See? Now, all you got to do now, go back and make some adjustment now. Go back. Listen, look at me. Go back. I feel the Holy Ghost. I sense breakthrough. Leon, I sense breakthrough, man, like never before. We have the ability to do this because the Lord, what he give us in his word. See, his word cultivate our mind right and heart. And our mind has to do with our soul. See. That's why you go back, when you go back to Hebrews 4:12, he's telling you that all these things have to be done. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joint and the manner. Then he closed that verse and knows the intent and thought of the heart. It looked like a process had to go through. Whoa, go to Hebrews 4:12. Holy Ghost trying to say something now. Whoa, looked like there's a process that the word take us through. Now, we have to understand now, my brothers and sisters. We have to understand there's a leak here. I'm going to tell you, there's a leak. I'm going to give you the leak or the link. Better word, the link. Go to Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to give you the link with this because I believe that the Holy Spirit, for these last few minutes, want to give you some revelation that real strong. Hebrews 4:12, and it's going to link up with this thing now. But before we read this, put your finger there. We got Hebrews 4:12. Now Hebrews 4:12, right? Yes, now, link it up. Go to John 6:63. Yes, all right. Information without revelation is dead. Yes. I don't know how many of y'all remember when I was preaching from John 6:63, but I personalize it. The words that I have spoken to the group, to the church, no, to you. Look at that John 6:63, and that's the only way it's going to turn out to be spirit and life. That's the only way it's going to turn out to be what it is, Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the spirit. You got to have a revelation, and it got to be in your heart. And it got to be renewed in your mind. Yes, then it belongs to you. Whatever it said, it belongs to you. Amen. You can't be stopped. No demon in hell can stop you. When you got a revelation, come on now. Yes, now you know it's more than the heart. You got to get the mind straight. Your mind has to become spiritual. You got to become spiritually minded. And then when you do that, when you renew your mind and the soul get in your mind and separate your soul and your spirit and the joint, know the intent, thought of your heart, then your soul and your spirit line up, then your body ain't got no choice. Then you're in Romans, you're in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 then. Then God got something to work with. Man, I see some manifestation that you've been looking for 25 years. If you take a hold of what God is saying here tonight, most of us know we should be Father. Yes. And we're not just talking about things. We're talking about in life. Yes. Power, man. Victory. Yes, setting somebody else free. Yes. Then praying 15 nights for ourselves. Yes, we sing, I got it. I got it. Yes. What you got? Yes. I feel good. What? Now, it seemed like with Hebrews 4:12, there's an operation going on, a divine operation going on, because the word quick means alive. The word of God is alive. What is alive with? Spirit and life. And it seemed to me, maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed to me, I may have never said it this way before, but it seemed like the word of God is ministering to your soul, your spirit and your body in Hebrews 4:12. It seemed like it trying to put something in a taller man that Satan, none of Satan's plan would work when he come. You know, it seemed like he's operating divinely upon us and putting us in a position to step out in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, sanctifying our soul and our spirit, our mind included, you see. Our will included, you see. Our feeling included, you see. Our emotion, you see. For the word of God is alive and powerful. Look, it said powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, going down up in there, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Hallelujah is right. Amen.
Amen.
See. My goodness. What you believe and what you think need to come before what you say. Because what you say really come out of what you really believe. And what you're really thinking, then what you say have power. could it be? I thought I was spiritual, but I wasn't spiritually minded. But when you say out of your mouth, but what you say out of your mouth is not in alignment with what you really believe in your heart, your words are not going to have any power. And that's why so many Christians are discouraged. Because they've tried this thing. They try speaking the word, confessing the word, but they have not focused on their thought life, which is what creates what we believe in our heart. Your thought life creates what you believe in your heart. Because I believe in Romans 12:1, you're dealing with the first verse, you're dealing with your body. Next verse, you're dealing with your mind, which your soul is in there. Then, when he started talking about faith, he down at your heart and spirit then. The three must be tuned in to God. The three must be tuned in to God. Even now, your soul, your spirit, and your senses. In other words, your senses don't have no choice. You got to submit now because a higher power is functioning. So your body just got to line up. What we believe in our heart when we speak it, it's going to come to pass. Says our thought life is the author apparent of what we believe in our heart. But when we speak something out and we really don't believe it in our heart because of what we've been thinking on and meditating on, it won't have any power. Can I say that again?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
But when we speak something out and we really don't believe it in our heart because of what we have been thinking on and meditating on, it won't have any power. You listening?
Yes, sir.
You must have faith in your heart to back up what came out, what you were thinking. Listen, class, it is critical. Those two things work together, your believing and your thinking. It is critical. Those two things work together, your believing and your thinking. It is critical. You ever saw a record got stuck? Huh? It is critical. Those two things work together, your believing and your thinking, and you can correct both of them with the word of God. Right? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen. And that disconnection, believing and thinking, will not produce any result. Disconnection between your believing and thinking will not produce any result. If you are disconnected behind the scenes, saying with your mouth, but thinking something different, it is not going to change anything. Now hear what the Holy Ghost is saying right now, right here, right now, tonight. Hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. And I think it's going to be an answer to a lot of things we got questioned about. You're confessing too fast. The part of the confession you're trying to use on to make the thing happen is still confessing to you. Oh, no, y'all ain't going to rob me like this. No, y'all ain't going to rob the Holy Ghost like this. See, confession has to change your mind and heart first before it's going to speak to anything else. So what I'm saying then, it seems like we run to confess things, but the word haven't had its way in our mind and heart first. Because when we confess after the word have dealt with our mind and heart, we're talking with God's voice. You think I said it to the thing too fast? You think I spoke to the situation too fast? You think I spoke to the circumstances too fast? And Satan dancing around in my mind says, she don't believe that. You think I should have took time and let the word of God drive Satan out of my mind and put God thought in my mind and now confess it by revelatorial manner instead of just information? Talk to him, man. Think about it. Write you on the spot. Write you on the spot. Now, I've heard it similar to this, but right here the Holy Spirit says the problem has been is, well, he said, jumping the gun too fast. Somebody didn't hand you a scripture. You don't own that scripture. Because you can't own a scripture because a scripture own you. See? As his soul prospereth. That's dealing with your mind, you see. As his soul prospereth. Through patience, you possess your soul. I'm closed now, but I just wanted to get this down in you. You need to get this, man, because this is a highway to blessing. You know? And then you say, like the word, you put the word out, like it, throw the word back at you. Nothing changed. You say it again. You're saying it to the wrong thing. You're talking to the devil. I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You need to talk to your mind. Renew your mind, and the devil, he'll be buying in, because now you're going to walk through him. Take a little work, Sam. That's all. Take a little work. But I believe in results, me. Amen. See, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. He that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, when you get your mind renewed, what you want to happen, you want it to happen for God. Yeah. And when it happens, you're going to give God the glory. Yeah. But God started letting you do some stuff yourself, then you're going to lose your balance spiritually. Yes, sir. See, so we need to renew our mind that we think like God, that we always, listen to me, class, I'm closing, but we always, no matter what happened in our life, no matter what manifestation or demonstration coming our way, always ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you, always ready to give glory to God. Now, I'm going to say something here. Just because you're connected with me, you ought to have more. You follow what I'm saying? Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Because of the time spent, the vision given, the mission given, the revelation, the anointing, the prayer that is prayed over you. So when I'm talking to you, I'm not playing. I want you as a child of God, as I'm your spiritual father, I want you to catch a hold of this stuff and let it work in your life. Ain't no reason we got to keep living in all this misery and nothing and changing and nothing working out. You're a child of the living God. All right, what? Where my sons at? Where Montreal? And give me the announcement of the funeral. I don't know all these names and stuff. Bring it to me. This young man died young.